It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is the world famous Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman, and Mr. Joe Grande.
I thought you were going to say George Lopez right now.
Coming to say Joe Grande. Yeah. Joe Grande.
Thank you, Blue.
Now, Joe, let us know what's going down on the show, bud.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening to us all around the world. We greatly appreciate you guys. If you want to call up and say hello, it's 1-800-420-1980. Make sure you check out the website and, of course, all of our social media handles at Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at 1, Christopher Wright.
Hello.
I am at Joe Grande 52, and Cannabis Talk 101 will be in Texas. That's right, Houston, Texas, October 9th and 10th at the George Brown Convention Center for C3, the Counterculture Convention, and I cannot wait for us to be there.
It's going to be off the chain, guys.
I think
guys.
It's going to be really good, and as the weekend just passed, you guys, we had a chance to remember 9/11, and I know that it's a Monday for everybody listening. This is when the podcast is dropping on Monday the 13th. And I just want to ask you guys, is before
no,
we get into...
Hold on. It's the 10th. We're doing it the day before.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter, Joe. You're missing the whole point of why we're doing it then. We might as well not even do the show.
Okay, bye.
Am I wrong, Pip?
I want to hear this. I don't think Blue's wrong. I think I understand what he's saying.
Okay, that's fine.
So on the 11th.
Perfect. Ready? As we reflect on 9/11, you guys, I wanted to get your thoughts because it's Friday the 10th and tomorrow is going to be 9/11.
Yes.
I just like to always think and reminisce. And, you know, it makes me think of when I was a kid when John F. Kennedy passed and got shot. You know, my mom and always hearing her friends talk about where were you when JFK was shot. And maybe Craig and Mark, you guys can relate to that. And also you, Blue. With your mom, I know your mom's might be a little younger than mine was, but that was like a big conversation. I always remember them talking about, like,
sure.
When they were playing cards and barbecues. It always would get brought up, as so does 9/11. As we look at 9/11 tomorrow, going, dude, where were you on 9/11?
Sure.
So I'm just so curious because probably, Craig, you're the oldest and you're going to be the first one gone. Where were you on 9/11?
The first one gone. Did you hear that, Craig?
As we do the Jesus. Life poll.
Amanda, are you back there?
It's going to be me.
No. Can you slap Craig?
I just want
to I mean, Joe.
I was at home.
Just chilling at home?
I think I was at home getting ready to go to work, if I'm not mistaken. And all of a sudden on the news, you see the shit, the first airplane. And then, oh, my God, the second airplane. And, yeah, I was home.
Did you have an emotional roller coaster? Did it hit you? Because you're making it sound like it's no big deal for right now. I mean, there's no emotion behind your whole little, I was at home.
I was at home. You asked me
no
where
big deal.
I was.
I mean, how did it feel for you? I mean, when you reflect back on 9/11, I was at home. It fucking ruined my day.
Well, I don't think the initial, of course, the initial reaction was an, oh my God. I mean, I don't know.
I actually refer to different. I look at it like, oh my God.
Recreate it.
Well,
you asked me where I was. Where were you, Blue?
Well, thanks, Craig. You know, honestly, I'll tell you where I was at, and I'll remember forever because we were in a classroom. I was in probably high
really?
School. Yeah, I was probably in high school and watching and we were watching something, huh? Oh
yeah,
no,
was
I was in high school. I was in college. I was in my college my college classroom, and I was watching a show. I don't even
know where you were at. You're just making some shit up. Like, no. Where was I at?
College of Death Row Records.
No. I was at
of Hard Knocks.
Oh, I went to college, Jack. You know what I mean? For about two
where?
Weeks. USC.
For how many
months?
Well,
I didn't go to
you
USC.
Didn't look up my, you didn't look up my.
You
haven't looked up my LinkedIn. My LinkedIn. No. So I was watching a movie.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously.
Which one is it? You were at school? You're
no,
at a
no.
movie?
I thought I was in school watching a movie, but I was somewhere.
He was watching a movie.
I was getting education.
This is what I mean by yeah. I thought it was a memorable moment
no,
for most
no, no.
people.
Listen,
obviously
true
not
story.
For you fucking,
true,
too.
True story. No, true story. Here it is.
Stoners.
Yeah, no. I was watching a movie, though, and at the house, and then, you know, someone came running in the house and was like, dude, put on the news. It's, you know, something's going down, blah, blah, blah. And
what movie were you watching?
I don't
that
remember
early
the movie.
In the morning.
No, I don't remember the movie. But I'll tell you what happened though. Is I remember flipping it from that movie to the news, and we thought it was a just an airline that was, you know, a plane was going down. We didn't think it was an actual attack or anything like that. We literally just thought, oh my God, there, you know, this plane just got low and or was it was going to crash and it hit a you know, a tower. We didn't think that it, you know, was some kind of an attack. But then once the second one hit, that was when the panic in my life started kind of hitting me, because I was like, holy shit, like this is, you know, there's no accident. Like, it wasn't an accident. There's two of them hitting. Now they start talking about, you know, was this terrorist or what kind of an event this was, and hijackings. You start hearing about the hijackings and everything else. And I think, you know, for me, it was more like a panic. You know, I started getting very panicked because I felt like, God, what's next? You know, is it going to hit LA? Is it going to, you know, are we going to be attacked as well? You know, it went, my mind went into, you know, obviously you don't start. I didn't start thinking about, oh my God, the people in there. I started thinking about, oh my God, we're all going to get attacked. We're all being attacked. And then I started thinking about the people that have lost their lives in this, and very emotional. I got to a point where I think I pretty much almost cried, you know, for probably about 15 minutes, because I was really when I started seeing like people on the streets and they had stuff all over them and stuff. And I'm thinking, gosh, and they were talking about how many people were in the building. We're guessing there was about, you know, 300 or 500 people in the building or something like that. I started guessing, you know, and I started going, oh, my God. And I could almost feel the souls crying across the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
I really did. I felt this whole, you know, feeling of just, Jesus, this is really happening right now. And, you know, I cried. I literally, I remember crying about
this. Who
were
you with?
Excuse me. I was with my blunt. My blunt. No.
Chelsea?
I said my blunt. I was talking about my weed. I was with my weed. No,
Were you with Chelsea at the time, or no?
You know, 2001. Probably not then. You know, but
hey, you better. Hey, hold on. We may have to edit that.
Yeah.
If you can go check back your history. No, I'm just kidding.
We're in, you know, 20. What are we in? 2021. No, that was 20 years ago. No.
Okay.
But I'll tell you though, you know, one thought that I really want to say is that, you know, there was so many families that were affected by it. You know, and then I thought about too, it's just like, you know, how about those people that actually called in sick that day, that didn't go, you know, and that were just by luck not there, you know, or the guy that was just going to deliver food or that had never been there. It was his first time being there. You know, so many emotions I think went through my head. And just to reflect back and to send my condolences out, you know, to all the families and that were affected by this and all the beautiful lives that were taken. It's just a horrific moment in our time, and I'm glad we're talking about it, though.
Yeah, it is. It's a big day. I mean, like you said, 20 years anniversary. Mark, where were you at? Do you remember?
I will never forget, because I was in the hospital.
What happened?
I was in the hospital the night before, on September 10th, I was at my girlfriend's house that night, and I was washing dishes, and I was cleaning a big wine glass, and it broke in my hand, and I ended up severing a nerve in my hand, and so I don't have feeling in these two fingers. And when it happened, it was just, the blood was everywhere. A nerve, I cut a vein, and it was just everywhere, and I had to go to the hospital, and I was in there overnight. And when I woke up in the morning, my girlfriend was there, and the TVs, people were in the lobbies. Like,
what room number were you in?
Oh my God. Oh my, I room 666. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then the weirdest thing for me and my girlfriend, a week before that, she was there at the top of the Twin Towers visiting her friend.
Oh,
one week before that. So
you are kidding me.
No, that was,
that's what,
so
I'm
that
saying.
Was pretty,
the people that essentially, like I said, like they almost dodged that bullet by not being there or were scheduled to be there, because there was a lot of people and they ended up being on investigation because they weren't there, right? So, you know, if you were supposed to scheduled to be there because you were sick that day and you just, or you had to go to the hospital or something happened, it was like, why weren't you there that day? You know, those people, you know,
yeah,
that's like splitting hairs. I mean,
and they're always going to remember that. Well, like, you know, as you guys remember that, Mark, what were you going to say?
I know there's people who I know of who like missed that flight for whatever reason, right? They missed the flight that went down. Those, what were those, three flights that were involved?
And they weren't supposed to be on it.
Right. You know, there's lots of those stories. I saw something posted today that Seth MacFarlane and Kevin Hart were supposed to like had tickets on one of those planes and their plans changed for what? Oh, Seth MacFarlane was late because he was hungover. I read on a social media post.
Best thing that ever happened to him, right? Being drunk that night and not making that flight.
Yeah. Kevin Hart, you said as well, too, or was it something?
I think I saw that post. Yeah. It was Seth MacFarlane. Kevin Hart, like,
yeah, it's one of those moments as we celebrate 9/11 and reflect. I'll never forget being on the radio at Power 106 broadcasting in Los Angeles. And I know Chris Franchino said he was, ironically, said he listened to that. That's how he found out listening to the show that day, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I was driving to work, and I'll never forget. Yeah, Big Boy was talking about it on the morning show, and it was kind of like, is he serious? Is this serious? And I think even you guys were talking about, like, is this serious? It's like, is this real? And then pulling up to work, and everyone's just kind of sitting there around the TV.
In a fog.
Kind of just, yeah. And then when that second plane hit, it was like, oh, shit, well.
I remember sitting there watching the first one hit, you guys, and I was one of the first ones in the room that I was at. It was me, Big Fuzzy, and Jason, our producer, and DJ E-Man. And I remember going, you guys, I have a feeling this whole building's going to come down. How in the hell are they going to get all these firemen up there with some hoses to stop this fucking plane from blowing up this building? I remember thinking that. That was the first, one of my first random thoughts before the second plane hit it because it didn't come down fast enough. But my thought was, how can they prevent this from exploding? Like a plane, big plane, just ran into a building and didn't come out. This plane has tons of gasoline on it. This is what my logic was at the time thinking. And I'm like, this thing's going to blow up that whole fucking Twin Tower. Like one of them. That's what I first thought. And I was like, and this was, of course, before I thought it was terrorists. I thought it was just some random act of like, one of these planes. Like when the Hutton plane, you know, there was been other stories of situations in New York that we've heard about through life of planes falling and this and that. I mean, just in the river and this and that, you know. But I was like, this is odd. Could it be terrorists? Then, you know, we're watching the news. And to think that I was one of the news outlets that was doing it was even weirder because we were constantly monitoring everything to try to get the most information out. And at the time, you know, we're just on every computer watching CNN, everything, and reporting it back. And our audience was millions of listeners that looked at us to give the information. So our phone lines are going crazy. Our boss is in there before you know it. Jimmy Steele, who is the program director, he's in there. Everyone's hands on deck, resources, looking, and then when that other plane hit, it was just like game over. Oh, this is terrorist now.
And you can hear Big and you guys just, oh my God, and you can hear the terror.
Oh, we were on live when it happened. We were on live. Oh my God, it's going into the next one right now. Yeah. You're right. It's something that's funny, Chris, that you say that you listen to us because I get that back sometimes in life. People going, dude, I remember listening to you guys when 9/11 happened. So it's another moment when we reflect back at 9/11 for me personally. Like random people will say exactly what you said. Oh, dude, I was listening to you guys on Power 106. So just a reflection as tomorrow is that big day. When we come back, we've got some, I got a Go Green story, and I know Blue has making waves. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And thank you to all the firemen out there and all the, of course, first.
Everyone.
You know, people that go there.
And affected by it.
And it's one of those things, like, personally, I do every night with my kids. I'm a prayer with my kids, and I literally pray for firemen and police officers because of that event. Like, I never used to before. I always liked firemen just because off GP, like, you know, firemen come to help you. Cops have been a little suspect on here and there, but I never prayed for them. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it at 100. After that event, prayed for cops and firemen, like, all the time. So it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back, guys. You know,
a little heavy heart right now.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, heavy heart. Listen, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that really hits you at home when you start thinking about it. And again, you know, think about all the people in those flights, you know, and just there's so
just
many
everybody.
People.
Just think about everybody who was affected by it. Period.
The whole country was shocked, and it still is. And again, there's not a person out there that can't. I mean, every one of us should be, you know, thinking tomorrow is the day that we need to, you know, pay some.
Well, not
morning,
only is 9/11, you know, 20 years, but year. Now what's going on in Afghanistan and this and that. And it just makes me think of more and more terrorist acts that could possibly potentially be happening on American soil. And, you know, and when I think of the terrorist acts that happen on American soil that don't get called terrorist acts because they're happening by Americans. So those are the ones that I think of, too. So it's just, you know, it's just crazy. But yeah, God bless those.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Who's making waves, Blue, besides 9/11?
Well, if you're looking to find out who's making waves in cannabis, Cannabis Talk 101 is the place to be. And make sure you check us out on our website at www.cannabistalk101.com for more information on everything that you've heard here on any of our shows. Guys, Kevin Durant team on and Weed Maps have teamed up, guys. NBA player Kevin Durant and Weed Maps announced a new partnership last week that they will make basketball star online cannabis community talk about cannabis more. They're going to destigmatize cannabis, guys.
Not only is this great, but for those who don't know, Kevin Durant has his hands in a bunch of random cannabis companies that's been low-key and hush-hush for a minute. And I believe he's been using cannabis, too, for a while, but he's very low-key and hush-hush about it. I think when you get a big superstar like this, I mean, let's just face it, he's bounced from team to team, won NBA titles, he's won NBA MVPs. He's a stud, and for him to do something like this, I think is a great look for cannabis.
Well, he did go on. So to add to that is he went on ESPN the other day and said, you know, it's time to normalize the conversation. And, you know, that made me think, because going on to, you know, ESPN is big and talking about it. And he says, we need to normalize.
What a concept.
We need to normalize, right? The conversation and start talking about athletes and cannabis, because there's so much value in it, and there's a lot of people are missing the value. And he's noticing that some of these leagues are starting to pull back their regulations and their testings and things like that, but still the conversation isn't really being talked about. So by teaming up with Weed Maps, and the Pop Brothers at Law own Weed Maps, we all know that.
That's a truth.
So, right, Craig, how long have you guys been the owners?
About 35 years.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So you know, there's a rumor out there that they own Weed Maps.
That's the best rumor
ever. It's been around for years. But I think that the thought is that, you know, having the board, he's working with Boardroom Media Network, which is part of his company, and they're basically building this whole idea of throwing events, community outreach, and making sure that they have athletes coming out in on ESPN and companies like Fox and bigger networks in order to start talking about cannabis. And I think it's a necessity right now in the cannabis, in the sports industry, to start moving that ball forward. What do you think, Joe?
I think not only him, but the Truth, former NBA star, ESPN basketball analyst Paul Pierce, also known as the Truth from Los Angeles. Which is funny because I like Paul Pierce, but I don't because he was a Celtics and I'm such a Laker fan, but I like the cat anyways. So it's a kind of a catch-22, especially when he went in that fucking wheelchair and he did that whole stunt and came back and spanked the Lakers. Anyhow, that's my deep sports side about hating him.
That was,
remember that? So if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. My point is, behind, as you're saying everything about Kevin Durant, Paul Pierce was just in Boston over the weekend and he was in a bunch of dispensaries promoting his new line, Truth Number 34 cannabis brand. So, you know, not only do you have Kevin Durant doing that, you have Paul Pierce that was just known to be doing it. And we talked about Paul Pierce's, I mentioned it in the Go Green segment a while back, but he's literally out at the dispensary slapping hands, kissing babies, saying, what's up, I'm out here at this dispensary. And he's had some troubles when he got let go from ESPN recently. But the point to your point is normalizing it.
Sure.
Being out there and talking about it. Being a huge sports icon. Granted, Paul Pierce is retired. Kevin Durant is active. Those are two different, you know, type of players. Kevin Durant, too, has a couple gold medals from the Olympics. So he's a former Olympian. I mean, he's not only just a basketball player, but he's, you know, doing all these things. So
it's about time they stepped up. Well, we've been saying this shit forever.
Well, they're also.
But it takes these guys to step up to finally make the conversation move forward.
And for everything. You ready for this? Even when you look at one of the most influential. You're such an asshole.
Well, one of the thoughts. No, seriously, though, one of the thoughts that he brought to the table was Sha'Carri Richardson, right? Shakari Richardson was denied of the Winter Olympics, and you know, and this is an outrage. I mean, this is something that, you know, that.
Oh, we talked about that whole thing for.
But it's it's based on old.
You say Winter
outdated,
Olympics?
It's old, outdated beliefs and that are coming to fruition and need to be corrected. And I think that that's the thing. It's old, outdated, people that are talking about this, and it's just they're flat out lies is what he says about the plant.
I'm just wondering what Weed Maps and Kevin Durant and what he got for that, because that's a big push. Like, who at your PR department did you guys get, and how did you guys get Kevin Durant? Wasserman's.
Well, that was actually we have to give it to Weed Maps.
Yeah, we had a phone, we had a call.
Yeah, they own it. So Wasserman's,
Kevin.
How do they do that?
Weed Maps CEO, Chris Beals.
Been fishing.
Chris Beals.
I want you to come over to my company.
It was Chris Beals of Weed Maps.
Is that why last week, Mark, you gave me Kevin's email information to hit him up?
Yeah, no, that was KG, not KD.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Kevin Garnett is KG, and Kevin Garnett has his cannabis brand as well. He's working on. I just think it's great that all these guys come out and talk about it. I mean, you know, I was just around another football player this past week, and we ironically were talking about cannabis, but he does not use it. And he's a former football player in the NFL, and he actually played with Kyle Turley. And we were referencing how more and more athletes, if this is what they need to make themselves feel better, then this is what they should be able to use. You know what I mean? Like so even cats that aren't for it and promote it act like, you know, it should be a normal thing.
So the thing is that the education isn't there that has taught them that it is better than the Vicodin and oxycodone and the shots that they're getting and this and that, because they can use cannabis. If it was taught properly, then they would say, hey, I'm not taking this medication to get high. The conversation has been, hey, you're a stoner. And anytime I'm on air or someone says, hey, what do you do? I'm in the cannabis industry. Oh, that's, you know, I guess you get some good weed. And it's like, no, it's not even about that. Like, you have to take a step back and look at the situation. And yeah, it's like, we get the best weed. But the conversation is how about the best medicine? How about the best
all medicine.
How long before
therapy.
No, but how about this,
therapy.
You guys? Random.
You know,
start with you, Mark.
A million times.
How long before you think you'll hear, oh, that medicine smells good? How long before it's a normal thing, not a forced thing? Because somebody will say that it almost sounds forced. And I'm being honest.
I don't think it'll ever be called that. I mean,
it's going to be tough.
Cannabis.
I don't know.
No, the thing that's stupid is this. Cannabis in and of itself is medicine. You don't have to call it medical cannabis or non-medical. There's no such thing as non-medical cannabis. It's a government made up thing, so you can have a city that had to justify why we're going to allow storefronts now for medical reasons. And that's why there's some cities still today only have medical. They don't even have adult use.
And why could I hear someone from the other side going, and calling it medicine is a government made up name, because it's not medicine.
It doesn't
it's
need
drugs.
To be called medicine. It is medicine.
I agree with you, Craig. I'm just saying, I hear the other side arguing
drugs.
That still in my head.
There is no other side. You don't need to call it anything.
I'm calling it what I'm used to hearing in life.
Call
which
it
sucks.
Cannabis.
I know. And I'm just saying, how long before people will act like it's what it is? And I agree with you. It is medicine, but it's not what's normalized. And
it's going to happen in 1 year, 8 months, 7 days.
You know what? Do you think that's going to happen before it's on the shelves in Costco with that bet between you and Blue, or after that?
Yeah.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
Beep, beep.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, Pop Brothers at Law with Blue and Joe Grande. And guys, I got a good when cannabis goes bad. Right out of Nevada, the headline reads, FBI investigating Nevada cannabis business licensing process. We're going to see a big shakeup in Nevada. Federal agents have been scrutinizing the Nevada cannabis licensing process to determine if any corruption was involved in the awarding of business permits.
The RICO Act. This is what we were talking about.
Here it is.
Watch out, guys. According to the Las Vegas Review Journal, FBI agents have been speaking with Nevada cannabis industry executives for at least a year. The investigation is focused on potential pay-to-play situations that might have arisen since the state legalized adult-use cannabis in 2016. Now, one former state lawmaker, Chad Christensen, who co-owns Paisos Dispensary in Las Vegas, told the Review Journal he spoke with FBI agents for roughly 45 minutes last December about his suspicions of corruption during the licensing process. The newspaper cited two other anonymous industry sources who reported similar conversations with FBI agents who asked whether bribes or campaign contributions were used to influence the distribution of cannabis licenses. In addition, the Nevada Attorney General's office was notified in February 2020 of a joint investigation being run by the State Department of Public Safety and federal authorities. The federal probe could be fueled by an ongoing legal battle over 64 cannabis business licenses that were awarded in 2018 to 17 businesses from a pool of 127 applicants. In 2019, Nevada governor appointed a task force to root out corruption or criminal influences in the state's cannabis industry. Guys, this is going to be coming to a head probably in the next year as these investigations continue. And what do you think? I think corruption will be uncovered. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's, you know, in any line of work, right? And I'm not just saying cannabis. I'm talking you want to get a liquor license. I'm talking you want to open up a smoke shop. And if you know
people, grease the wheels.
You know, exactly, Craig. And it's the same shit that happens. Well, I think the city this one now is cannabis, though, so it's a little more
high. What it is, it's a whole new industry opened up to the real world. Because back in the day, I mean, there wasn't corruption, man. I mean, there'd be some, you know, crime on crime maybe, but for the most part in the community was small. Blue knows this, that no one fucked with anybody.
Yeah. Everybody worked together.
Fucked with them.
Yeah. No,
I fuck around with them back in the day. Now it opens it up to all kinds of shit, including that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that, you know, is interesting is, you know, when you started talking about this, Mark, my mind went to, you know, if they are found guilty, right? Do they go back to the other 117 people and say, hey, you know, we made a mistake and allow just the free open, like, you know, like Oklahoma? Do they just open it up and allow everybody to?
What about the case that you guys
What's
had?
What's the result?
Remember the case that you guys
the resulted
had?
That guy goes to jail.
And that's it? It's a done deal?
It's a criminal prosecution.
Do the guy that gave him money go to jail too?
No, they usually turn state's evidence and rat on the guy who they gave it to. And then, who gave it to him.
And just the guy that got the money goes down.
No, the politician, hopefully.
Yeah, just a politician. But I'm saying that you don't think that the city would open up and allow, you know, just because, I mean, if they had, you know, Vegas just allowed it to open up everywhere, you know, it'd be a great place to go.
They're all the same. All the cities are the same.
Well, were they in Adelanto? Well, no, was it Adelanto?
Yeah, Adelanto.
Had the corruption. And another city, Baldwin Park. I mean,
it's going to be kind of anywhere, right? That they have these big old grabs.
No, these are just America's dumbest criminals.
But it happens all the time. So when you ask, what do you think? I think it happens all the time.
And they're getting caught. And they're getting caught.
And hopefully justice will be served.
They're not getting caught enough.
Exactly. That's why I say hopefully justice will be served.
And I think they should have to, you know, when the city and the state get involved in something like that, I think the city and the state, not just the politician that took the money.
Well, it's
I think
potential that if it's a payoff to an actual licensed clinic or, I mean, licensed permitted business, they could yank that permit.
Here's the fucked up part about this whole scenario. You ready for this? Say you're in Congress or you're in the know of the city or the state and you know that Garden Grove, just pick your city's going to open up and then you go out and buy some property or you tell your as a business partner, let's go get some land over there. That's okay.
It's like insider trading.
Exactly. It's bullshit. It's the same kind of concept of what you're describing, Mark, of how this legal type of fucking manhandling.
I think there's consequences to that as well.
You would hope, but guess what? It goes under because my other company opened it up or, you know, we had
They have ways if they catch on. I mean, these people are doing criminal acts.
The key word you said, Craig, is if. If they catch on.
It's like any other criminal, and they're taking their chances, and they may or may not get caught.
And my point to it is it happens all the time. So this type of thing that you say when cannabis goes bad, Mark, I think, and you said, what do I think? I think it happens all the time. And I think it happens in bigger, grander ways that we get the wool pulled over our eyes because these Congress, the whatever, they're making money on top of money. Look at these people who have a job that we, you know, pick them for, and they have fucking homes all over the country, big mansion-style homes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And God bless them for doing well. I wonder how well they did with all the inside information they had. I'm just saying, well, it happens.
It goes down to,
you know. Get out the ambulance, Joe.
I'm just saying it happens. So when Mark asks, what do I think about it? I think it happens, and it's almost one of those things.
What if you were the guy who was profiting from all of it?
You know what, Craig? I wish I was. I wish I was, and then I'd sit there and tell everybody, you know what? It is what it is. If you don't like it, get another job where you could be on the end.
No, if you don't like it, pay the guy more money.
Either way.
You know, sometimes you don't even know. Like some of these guys wake up with a lottery ticket, too, though. You know, they've had a piece of property, and they're looking at retiring now, and then all of a sudden this damn piece of property is worth millions more than it's worth in the town because cannabis is coming there. And it's funny that, you know, the price of
that's
cannabis.
That's different. That's just good luck.
Yeah, that's good luck.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about criminal shit, so I don't know how you segued into that.
Well, before we go, I want to give you guys a Go Green quick one right now, and it's about cannabis drinks. And they just done some new research out there, and the study highlights the potential growth of the cannabis beverage industry. So by 2020, they already made $250 million, right, by the end of 2020. By 2031, they're saying it's going to be at $6 billion. Over the next decade, the market value is predicted to expand to 24 times that, climbing by 38% from 2021 to 2031 to approach the $6 billion mark. CBD-based drinks are anticipated to make up to three of the times that in sales. It's just crazy to think that where they anticipate this to go, which they did this with cannabis, and it did this. Look what happened in Illinois. Look what happened in Oklahoma, California. They're making these marks. It's not like they're far off from it. You know, so to think, oh, should I be in this? And, you know, a lot of non-alcoholic cannabis-infused beverages are expected to comprise 50% of consumption, and a few major players have made moves in this sector, and perhaps the most significant development is Svedka Vodka. I don't know if you drink that one, Craig. Is that one of your vodka brands?
No.
Tito's! Okay. Well, it's the Constellation Brands is the one that owns that, which is a huge, huge company. They pumped billions of dollars into the cannabis company Canopy Growth since 2017 and now own around 38% of that business. So Constellation Brands, just to give you an idea of what they own Corona. You know what I mean? And they own Modelo. Not Modelo. I think they also... They own a few other big brands, but as long as it's vodka as well. My point is they are putting in billions of dollars. Not millions. Billions of dollars already for these cannabis drinks. So when you wonder, oh, I wonder who's going to do it or what they're doing, they're in the process of doing it. They're spending billions of dollars on it. So when you hear they're going to be making $6 billion by 2031... I think that's a good look, and I don't think it's too late to get in the game because just
you know what's
like
interesting,
they have,
Joe.
What's
is that? I saw an email today, and I didn't really look at it much. It was promoting another cannabis type convention, but it was a convention that looked like I'm pretty sure it was regarding specifically cannabis infused drinks. The whole convention.
Really?
So it might be all the ancillary products you need to make that stuff and then all the different brands that do it. I don't know, but it goes in line with what you're saying. But the crazy thing is, as big as that's going to get, it's still a small percentage of overall sales. So imagine if that's a small percent of overall sales, do the math.
Exactly. Wow. I'm Joe Grande, and that's your Go Green segment.
And there it is, boys and girls. And remember to sincerely... Make sure you tell your loved ones about 9/11 and share it with your friends. And never forget that, people are out there that have been hurt by this. And we love you guys. If no one else does, we do.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.